From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Some 30,000 Iraqi, Kurdish, Peshmerga, and Sunni tribal fighters are engaged in a long-anticipated assault to retake the northern Iraqi city of Mosul, the country's second largest from a two-year Islamic State occupation. The air and ground assault was launched early Monday from multiple directions against an estimated IS force of between 4,000 and 8,000. U.S. Defense spokesman Peter Cook said initial reports progress is positive.
Early indications are that Iraqi forces have met their objectives so far, and they are ahead of schedule for this first day. This is going according to the Iraqi plan, but again, it's early, and the enemy gets a vote here.
The commander of the U.S.-led coalition backing the offensive, Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend, warned it could take weeks or longer to capture the city. The U.N. resident and humanitarian coordinator for Iraq, Lisa Grand, expressed alarm over the fate of the civilian population in Mosul.
Our concern is that civilians are at extreme risk from crossfire, from possible artillery barrage. We understand that ISIL has booby-trapped large parts of the city. We understand that there's extensive contamination by explosive hazards. We're very worried about snipers.
U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter called the battle the decisive moment in the campaign to deliver the IS group a lasting defeat. The Constitutional Court in the Democratic Republic of Congo has approved a petition by the country's Electoral Commission to delay a presidential election set for next month to April. President Joseph Kabila was expected to step down in December when his two-term mandate expires. The court acted on a request by a national dialogue involving the ruling coalition and members of the opposition. Most opposition parties boycotted the talks. This is VOA News. The Russian Defense Ministry announced Monday Russian and Syrian armed forces will prepare for an eight-hour humanitarian pause in the Syrian city Aleppo Thursday. Lieutenant General Sergei Rutskoy said the October 20 pause would last from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. local time, allowing for the free passage of civilians, evacuation of the sick and wounded, and withdrawal of fighters. He said there will be two corridors by which people can leave the city. It was welcomed Monday by U.N. spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
Obviously, any lessening of the violence, lessening of the fighting, any pause that's actually implemented would be very much welcome. We have been calling for at least a 48-hour ceasefire, cessation of hostilities, so in order to get humanitarian aid in.
New air attacks Monday in and around Aleppo killed dozens, including children. Hundreds of civilians have died in a pro-government assault in the rebel-held sector over the past month. The U.N. Special Envoy to Yemen announced a 72-hour ceasefire to begin late Wednesday after he received commitments from all the country's warring factions. Ismail Ould Sheikh Ahmed also said the cessation of hostilities could be renewed. The announcement came a day after the U.S., Britain, and the U.N. envoy urged the warring parties to declare a ceasefire. The Saudi foreign minister said the kingdom, which backs President Abdurrahman Mansour Hadi's government against Houthi rebels, remains skeptical of peace efforts after previous ceasefire attempts have failed. An unmanned Antares rocket operated by Orbital ATK blasted off late Monday from Wallops Island, Virginia, with a cargo ship destined for the International Space Station.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And as you can see, Cygnus lifting off on top of its Antares rocket on its mission to deliver supplies and science to the International Space Station.
The rocket carried a Cygnus capsule loaded with more than 2,400 kilograms of food, supplies, equipment, and science experiments for the ISS. Expected to reach the orbital space station by Sunday. Searchers recovered more than 30 bodies after a Myanmar ferry sank in a river in the northwest of the country. Scores are still missing. The death toll is expected to rise. Dozens of Japanese officials Tuesday visited a controversial war shrine, a frequent pilgrimage that usually angers China and South Korea. They view it as a painful reminder of Tokyo's wartime past. 85 Japanese lawmakers arrived at the Yasukuni Shrine to pray for Japan's war dead. However, senior military and political leaders convicted of war crimes are also buried there. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe Monday sent a ritual offering but avoided making a controversial visit. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.